We had to blow off Solana's update there because we went so crazy over on time in the last segment. We are literally, I hope our boss Len is not listening right now, because we are literally coming back. We're supposed to be back at 5 o'clock on the dot. We are coming back at 10 after 5 for an awful conversation. And someone even texted it. But that's what happens when you're around guys. No one ever wants to lose an argument. So the thing, that argument, for people that don't understand, never been around that kind of, verbal quarrel, we would have gone till midnight. The only way this thing was going to end is if someone fell asleep.
It really was.
I'm going to call Crowder tonight at like 2 in the morning. Like, you know what? We're not done here.
Yep, I'm going to walk outside. Hold on, baby. I'll be back.
5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder is presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery, and we need a Funky Buddha right now, man.
Oh, I can't wait.
Lion. That was somebody texts in. I love your guys' show. I have not heard you talk that much sports this entire year, and we apologize.
Sorry about that.
We apologize, because today is International Donut Day, and that really is where my focus of attention was for the first 3 hours and 10 minutes of the show. There's a few things. Today's International Donut Day. It's a very big holiday in the Hockman household.
I went and got donuts earlier.
We'll make it a whole weekend. Oh, well, okay. I'll be at a different donut place all weekend long.
Extended vacation.
Extended vacation. And then, I don't know if you were listening yesterday on this show. I think it was around this time. There were a couple things. I talked about our podcast numbers.
Yeah.
Was it around this time yesterday? I think it was.
Yeah, in the first segment of the
It was. It was around this time.
I messed up and spilled the beans. I won't do it today, though.
Right. You gave out the actual number.
Yeah.
Suffice it to say, we got our podcast numbers yesterday for the month of May, and we are pacing for over 1 million downloads, and we highly recommend that you subscribe to our podcast. It's free. You can go on iTunes, search Hockman and Crowder, and you can go on radio.com, search Hockman and Crowder. You can go to WQAM.com. But Solana was telling me there's a podcast problem today, right now, as we speak. You can't upload anything?
Right now, I cannot upload. IT is working on it, but as soon as it gets fixed, I will have everything uploaded.
Okay. So if you're, a lot of people, 5 o'clock, they start looking for the 2 o'clock hour because they were at work or whatnot. So nothing is uploaded yet, and everything will be uploaded. Gino Toretta was on with us earlier, and all the interviews, everything that we've done. Coach Jim Larinaga was on with us at 4 o'clock. All that stuff will get posted maybe this weekend or whatever, but there is a podcast problem, so for people texting in. But we want you to subscribe. We're setting records. We're patting ourselves on the back. But it's really all because of you guys.
Yes.
And the other thing that we were talking about today, as we were yesterday, I think around this time, was Pete Rose. And there's, and I even asked Gino Toretta earlier, because Gino Toretta is Italian, and I don't know if the Joe DiMaggio thing. Here is, if you missed it yesterday, and I hate to do this for the drive home on a Friday, but I also love to do this for a drive home. This is what, the show needs some yin and yang. And the last 20 minutes, this ridiculous argument about KD and LeBron basketball IQ, which if I never hear again, will be too soon. If I never hear someone mention who's got a basketball IQ that's higher, Kevin Durant or LeBron James. I mean, this was... honestly, trying to figure out who's smarter and pointing at two Nobel Prize winners for, economics.
I'll pick
and you're
one.
Splitting hairs. No. No.
show FaceTime tonight.
No. Crowder yesterday. I didn't even tell this story on the air. Yesterday, I'm sitting in the office with Len, our program director, who I hope is not listening right now. And I look down. My phone's buzzing. I look down. Incoming FaceTime from Channing Crowder. Okay, now, Crowder and I are both in agreement. There's one time on this planet that I use FaceTime. It's with my son only if I'm traveling.
Out of town, yep.
The only time that I use FaceTime. I would never FaceTime a friend. I just don't FaceTime anybody. No. It's weird to me. And I look down. Crowder has FaceTimed a conference FaceTime with me and Solana. So he's called our text thread
yes.
via FaceTime. So I answer. I'm in an office. Len, our program director, and I think an account executive is up there. Answer. I'm on camera. There's, like, you can't see anything in crowd. Like, you can see the phone is almost, like, down or whatever. I'm like, hello? Hello? Why are you FaceTiming me? Why are you FaceTiming me? Solana hasn't buzzed in yet. And then I just kind of forget because I'm in the office talking with our boss. So I kind of forget. Now we're just going about our business. My right hand to God. I didn't even tell you this, Solana. My right hand to God. We are talking now in Len's office for a minute and a half. I thought that I had X'd out of the FaceTime conversation. I had just kind of minimized it because it was still going on. Minute and a half, my phone's sitting on a table, and all of a sudden you hear Crowder. Why are you guys on my phone?
I was cussing.
He's been listening to us have this conversation in the office. He doesn't know how to get it off his phone, and he thinks I've called him. He FaceTimed me, so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like, and he's like, bleep, 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 bleep. Why are you mother bleepers on my phone?
Bro, you pick up your phone. I think I was picking up to call my wife. I hear Hawk and Lynn talking. And then see Hawk's like, I can tell he's not holding the phone, but I'm looking at his chin. Hey, man, get the F off my phone. What are y'all doing?
Like I had just shown up. But anyway, we'll have that tonight to finish up the KD LeBron IQ argument.
I cannot download apps on my phone. That's
know.
That's how...
He's on iOS 3.
That's how non-tech savvy I am.
He's got no phone IQ. Eh?
You know what?
Eh?
Bring it back
you
around.
See? No phone IQ.
I won't argue unless you want to.
But anyway... But anyway, we played this story yesterday. This is 20 seconds of what I believe is the best storytelling. If you could tell a story like this, it's 23 seconds exactly. If you could tell a story this perfectly... In 23 seconds. I know Pete Rose, he's the hit king. He is the story king. Listen to his story about Joe DiMaggio.
We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle. So the only way you could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water poured into this canvas thing.
Pull it over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it.
Okay, so there you go. I feel like we have made up to you what we did the last segment for talking about KD and LeBron, which we are never going to talk to about again on this show. But I feel like donuts, Joe DiMaggio's wang, the podcast numbers. I believe that's all fair game for us. The basketball IQ argument will never be had again as long as we do this show. Everybody pinky swear. Put your pinkies in.
I'm down.
That's not my pinky. What? Joe DiMaggio's wang, everybody. Ira Winderman covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Here's a couple things I can guarantee you. I will not talk about LeBron or KD basketball IQ unless he brings it up. That's my only caveat.
Okay.
If he brings it up, it's okay to talk about. I will bring up Joe DiMaggio's wang if he gives me an opportunity to do so.
Wang.
So, Ira Winderman. And what's better on radio in South Florida than Ira Winderman's intro song?
Oh, he can't beat it.
Name anything in South Florida radio.
I won't even try.
That is better than Ira Winderman's intro song. So you'll hear all that when we come back.
Radio.com. Radio. Turn up the radio. Radio.com.
Sing it. Perreo Friday.
Perreo Friday.
That's right. Perreo Friday.
Ira loves this song.
El Viernes Perreo. ¿Entiendes?
I don't know.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Ira is there on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ira Winderman, he covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Do you have the proper introduction for Ira Winderman? Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel, Ira, Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman. He covers the NBA. Ira,
you're speaking in tongues.
All right, I don't know what's going on there.
I love it.
Ira Winderman is there. Hello, Ira.
And remember, in honor of your new producer, I'm now Ira Hondro, but either way. We'll
I mentioned that to him yesterday. Okay. You had texted me. Yeah, Ira Winderman is now Ira Hondro.
And also, Hawk, I just want to answer the three questions from your first segment today. Just get them out of the way, okay?
Okay.
First answer, John Sally.
All right. Okay. Appreciate that.
Second answer, sour cream donut, the preference here.
Hold on. Sure. On International Donut Day, your top choice of donut is a sour cream donut? I've never even heard of it.
It has that nice glaze. It's sort of a cake donut with a little twang. And I know Channing spoke about this at the top of the show. The problem with the Boston cream or the jelly donut is, look, most of us are sneaking donuts when our wives aren't looking and then coming home and going, no, I'm hungry for dinner. It's all good. The problem is when you drive with a Boston cream or a jelly donut, it's an accident waiting to happen. So the filled donut really doesn't pass the driving test. So I have issues with that.
All right, I have issues with driving with the donut. If you're gonna stop and get a donut, you eat the donut there. You don't have to eat it in your car.
I think a donut can be mobile, so I'm gonna disagree with you there.
Where do you get a sour cream donut though? I like sour cream. I've just never heard of that.
Right next door. Go to the Dunkin' Donuts on the way home tonight. Bring a nice dozen home for the family. The sour cream donut. Also underrated is the 7-Eleven sour cream donut.
Did you know that there were sour cream donuts?
No, I really didn't.
I'm telling you, and I'm a donut aficionado, Ira Hondro. I've never heard of this.
Now you know. And my third answer to your opening segment today was, my thought is this. Rainbow sprinkles are only for kids.
Yes.
But I think a chocolate sprinkle isn't okay for an adult.
Incorrect. It's wax. I mean, why would you put extra wax on an item?
I just think it works better than, I think any adult who goes in and goes, oh, rainbow sprinkles, they're so colorful. No, that doesn't work. I think a chocolate sprinkle is a more mature sprinkle.
But would you ever go somewhere? You know, I mean, you're a Dairy Queen. I'd like a vanilla cone and I'd like sprinkles on it.
Well, the problem is, if they know who I am, no. If not, yeah, it's an indulgence.
Really? Sprinkles are an indulgence.
So if they don't say, hey, you're the guy from the radio station, I might have a chocolate sprinkle. But if they know me, I would never touch a chocolate sprinkle. Just dip the cone in the butter.
Sprinkles on a donut like Solana? Solana's 25 years old. He's eating sprinkles on a donut.
But again, for me, the mobility factor, where the sprinkles are going to go all over the car. The difference is my wife drives a car that is pristine. Literally 3 years later, we'll still have the new car smell. She's unbelievable taking care of her car. My car is a wreck. My car is like, you know, like I drove it to Garbage Mountain and coming back. So I'm always running the risk of something being identified, this bag, this wrapper. I literally still drive the car of a bachelor.
And Ira, well, I have one problem with what you said. You get donuts on the way home from work at 6, 7 at night?
You know what? You're a little hungry. You've been in the studio. You feel you owe yourself an indulgence. You played 2 hours of tennis. You're about to drop dead. Yeah, Channing, I do. You got an issue with that?
No, I put it that way.
It's possible that he calls his treats donuts, if you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Stop off, get a quick donut, and then head home.
And the crazy thing is, okay, so I gave you three answers, and you absolutely glossed over John Sally.
That was my follow-up. That was my follow-up. So John Sally, huh? All right.
You know what? If you Google John Sally and the word that begins with a P, there actually is a TMZ video of him discussing it. So I would never tell tales out of turn either direction. But this is a case where John Sally actually did a TMZ interview describing the wordplay.
He's the Milton Berle of NBA players.
You know what? I want to be so careful because I'm going to come back on the station next week that I'm just going to leave this be. But just go online. You'll
fair
find
enough
out all
fair
you
enough
need to know.
Ira Winderman covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinels. I've made this point for a couple days.
Sure.
I think Steve Kerr, by not allowing Clay to play on Wednesday night, was arrogant. He essentially, I mean, you're not going to beat that Toronto team with just Steph Curry, unless Draymond, I guess, plays lights out basketball and Boogie Cousins did what he did in game two, I guess. Like, you need everything to go right. And I think if Clay tells you he wants to go and it's not a major injury, which it's obviously obviously not if he's playing tonight. I think it was a bad decision.
Well, first of all, I'm surprised Channing, when you talked about it in an opening segment, didn't mention more how a hamstring or a groin is the kind of injury that can get a lot worse in a hurry if you don't let it sort of heal to a certain degree. So unless you're literally walking another man's steps, you don't know about the groin or the hamstring, or if it's one, you know, step away from a tear or something. Clay knows that, and the team's, you know, muscular therapists know that. I've always felt no matter the result of Game 3, Game 4 determines this series for this reason. If the Warriors win tonight and it goes to 2-2, they know if they win at Toronto, they can come back home and close it up. If the series goes 3-1, Toronto knows they can go home on Monday and in front of their crazy fans close out the series. So I think Game 4, in a way, always set up a little bit more. You're right, there was a certain arrogance. And really, if they make that transition layup and instead it isn't blocked and come back with a 3 by Danny Green the other way, that could have been a completely different game. Yes, a degree of arrogance. I also think they were waiting on Kevin Durant on the hope that maybe he can come back and rest Clay a little bit more. We now know that Durant is back. We now know that Clay is playing. But I want to ask you this, Channing, because you've been through this with groins and hamstrings. Won't you sort of be keeping an eye on Clay Thompson to see if he has that explosion or that burst to know early in the game whether we're going to see the real Clay Thompson?
Oh, yeah, to see if he can really do what you've seen him do and seen him play at a high level, and also the fatigue. Because it might feel good in quarter one, but now he starts running up and down that court, it gets fatigued, and whatever was hurting, now it's accentuated.
But I think we're doing something here, Ira. Imagine it was the Heat when LeBron was here, and he, quote-unquote, tweaked his hamstring, and he didn't play game 3. He would be vilified by every fan and every media member, just like, you know, Mark Jackson, you know, sometimes you got to tell your body, not now, body. If he wanted to play and didn't end up playing in game 3, people would have crushed him. Hey, it's the final, suck it up.
Oh, you're right. Or they would have crushed Eric Spoelstra for not letting him play in the role of Steve Kerr. Or Pat Riley for telling Spoelstra he couldn't play him. You're right. But these are the lovable, huggable Warriors. So everything is dissipated from when you were sort of the anti kind of team that the Heat were. You're 1,000% correct. And sort of the equivalency of this is you watched the Stanley Cup final game last night, and Zdeno Chara goes out there with a broken jaw. He's wearing this oversized helmet, and he's throwing crazy body checks during his shifts, which shows you the difference between hockey guys. So yes, Hawk, I agree there's a certain arrogance. But I think there's also the Warriors believe this in themselves. They can win 3 straight games anytime they darn well please. So I think that was their thought process going in. Okay, Toronto threw their best punch. We're at home. We get this to 2-2. All of a sudden, the Raptors are running scared on Monday night because they know if they lose at home, they may never get home again. So I think that's part of the thinking, and we'll know early. What I'm curious is, the equivalency from the Bruins Blues game last night, is there a way that Toronto can do something to Clay? Are you going to run him off screens? Are you going to sort of run a second guy at him so he has to make a quick change of direction? Like, I wonder if there's something you can do if you're Toronto to manipulate the situation in your favor, get him on a screen so he has to guard a quicker point guard, Lowry or Van Fleet or something like that. So I am curious. I think there's going to sort of be a game within the game tonight.
And Ira, one of my biggest takeaways from Game 3 was the Warriors' defense. Is that all Clay? Because their defense was terrible.
Yeah, Clay is a really good defender, and I think has always gotten underrated because everyone sees him as a shooter. That's number one, Channing. Number two is this notion that DeMarcus Cousins was going to come back and repeat his Game 2 performance. He is slow and sluggish, which he's always sort of been. He's a bigger guy, but I think the fact that they couldn't rely on him, that hurts. Kayvon Looney's done a real good job defensively in the playoffs. People lose sight of that. He's out for this series. And remember how people were noting in the series against the Cavaliers, the finals, the last couple of years, how Kevin Durant is so underrated as a defender. So you can make an argument they're there without two of their better defenders and still trying to play defense. I think no Clay, no Durant, no Kayvon Looney, and no real rim deterrence right now is a factor for Golden State. They are far diminished from the championship team we've seen before.
Hey, quickly, and I heard you explain it on the radio earlier this week for people that may not have. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel is with us. The Heat, you know, they might trade for J.R. Smith. I heard you explaining they're not even going to assign him a jersey number.
Right.
Can you just explain for Heat fans that might be looking casually?
You know, he makes this the deal with Cleveland, basically what it'll mean is J.R. Smith's due about, I think it's $16 million next season, but only $3 million are guaranteed if he's cut by June 30th. So you can wash away a salary cap mistake. So you can trade a Deion Waiters or a James Johnson with filler, but you'd have to trade something with it. So then the question becomes twofold. Number one, are you willing to give up this year's number 13 pick in order to erase a mistake? That's number one. Number two, are you willing to trade down with Cleveland, I believe drafted 26, and trade down that number of spots to wash a mistake? And here's number three. If you make a deal like that where you're saying we're trading Deion or James Johnson just to get rid of them at a premium, at a cost to us, is that Pat Riley finally acknowledging a mistake, which maybe you have to do, and saying, okay, it didn't work out the way I wanted. He told us his season-ending media session, no, these guys were injured, no, I felt I did the right thing. That's the hardest thing to do, I think, for anyone in management, to acknowledge failure and move on. The Nets did that with Alan Crabb when they traded him yesterday to the Hawks, and they gave up two first-round picks in order to erase a mistake. That's the hardest thing in the NBA, to erase your mistakes that comes as a premium. I would hate for the Heat to give up their number 13 pick in this year's draft just to having admitted that Deion Waiters or James Johnson didn't work. On the other hand, if it gets you to $50 million or so in cap space next summer, which is more valuable to Pat Riley, a middle-of-the-pack draft choice this year or even more money to throw in his war chest in free agency next summer or the year after? And we know that cap space has always meant more to Pat, which is why I think this is a viable possibility.
All right, well, let me jump off the court on one of these stories that's been around the NBA Finals. The investor, Mark Stevens, he pushes Kyle Lowry. He gets fined $500,000 and 1 year suspension. Is that enough punishment for what he did?
I think the Warriors have to make him sell his share also. You simply can't be part of our club if you're going to behave that way. What I would do is this. Once he sells his share, he ain't sitting in no front row seat in the new arena they have. They can sell those seats. I think he should be allowed to go to a game. I think he should be allowed in the second deck in the middle of the aisle if he wants to be a fan. I think he can only go so hard. Here's my question to you. Channing, if pushing someone in the workplace and treating them rudely is an issue, what happens if a player shoves a reporter doing an interview? We've seen this before, or something like that. Wouldn't that be an equivalency of someone trying to do their job in their workspace and then someone doing that? Does that mean the next player who does that, who Jason Williams with the Memphis Grizzlies once grabbed the pen out of a reporter and created an issue? Are we really ready to ban people for life for workplace incidents? I think Adam Silver came out pretty strongly. I think the rest of this year's playoffs, all of next season, and the playoffs after are one thing. I think usually a team will trade or cut a player like that. So I think they simply make him give up his ownership stake. And then if he wants to be a fan, okay, fans have had missteps before. If you make it a lifetime ban, then I think you're opening this real can of worms, maybe when one of your player misbehaves. Perfect example, does that mean Ron Artest really should have been banned for life after Malice at the Palace in Detroit, or Jermaine O'Neal or the others who went into the stands? So you're going to get into a real slippery slope if you're going to say anyone who interferes during a game either way during the work process is banned for life. I don't know where that would end.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly fair punishment, and I'm with you. He just needs to sell his share and not be part
and
of it. But because I feel like he's been neutered, but I almost, yeah. And it has nothing to do with like a physical interaction, but I almost feel it's like Rob Pelinka in Los Angeles. Like, how can that guy continue to do his job and be taken seriously at what he does when he's kind of been shown to be a fraud? Like, at some point, you just got to cut your losses.
I think the guy in Golden State wouldn't want to be part of it because basically he wouldn't want to be seen in public anymore because, oh, you're the guy, just like Rob Pelinka. Oh, who's the next dead actor who's going to come talk to our players? Yeah, I think after a while, from a professional standpoint, everyone just moves on. Maybe he takes up a hobby of coin collecting and we sort of end it right there. You make these punishments too steep for owners, for other people. All of a sudden, you're going to look at player issues and go, okay, what about now?
You mentioned Chara last night. How about the no call that really cost, I think, maybe Boston the game last night, or at least a tie?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. I was watching with my son, and we immediately went back to Trocheck was tripped, you know, and the Panthers and what happened in their last playoff series. And I don't know that we've got to go to the buzzer system or something. We have an eye in the sky. We have cameras. When it's that blatant,
I mean, it was egregious.
If I'm sitting in the league office in Toronto, why wouldn't you at least wipe out the goal? Think about this. Sometimes a player's skate will accidentally tip it in, but his foot's moving forward. The most minuscule things take goals away. It was one thing if you missed the penalty. I understand that. But on a play that results in a goal, I think that's when you say, as part of that sequence, yeah, I mean, you've seen this, Hawk, when they call a goal back for offsides because the guy's foot is over
right,
the blue
like
line,
the
but not touching
of the
ice.
Tip of the skate, yeah.
Exactly. When it's that minuscule, you know, then I think something like that, someone from the league should step in because it's one thing if you didn't call a penalty. But the fact is that on that sequence, when most of the Bruins stopped and the St. Louis player who committed the non-penalty was already arguing with the referee why it shouldn't be a penalty. If you go back and look at the video of that also, yeah, this is a black eye for hockey. You know, they already had that extended power play in the San Jose series when it shouldn't have been called a five-minute penalty. And led to a, you know, led to an issue there. Yeah, I think if you have eye in the sky in everything, we're seeing it in the World Cup at the highest level of soccer, then I think you should employ it for a situation like that also. I totally agree.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel, I have to thank you for your appearance today. You are always radio gold, but I learned about the sour cream donut today, and I'm excited to try one. I love sour cream. I love donuts. It sounds like I like a frosting that's sour cream or cream cheese based. It sounds delicious, Ira. I'm tremendously excited.
And we'll talk about this next week as I'm eating my cone with ice with chocolate sprinkles and making sure no one is looking.
Don't do the sprinkles, though, really. And you know, in your heart of hearts, it doesn't add anything to an ice cream cone. It detracts, actually.
But
let's
you know
be
what,
honest.
Hawk, sometimes you need a little solace when you realize in life you're not John Sally.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I came to that conclusion a long time ago, even before I knew about Sal. Thanks, Ira.
Always a pleasure, my Jewish brother. Thank you, guys.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Northbound ramp to 8th Street blocking the left lane. A disabled vehicle blocking the center lane, 95 northbound at Ives Dairy. And a crash westbound on the Dolphin to 72nd Ave blocking the right lane. Slowdowns northbound on the turnpike from 12th Street to 106th. And a Broward to disabled vehicle blocking the right lane eastbound on Sunrise Boulevard just past US 1 South. Emergency vehicles blocking the left lane in Hollywood, 95 northbound at Sheridan Street. And I'm Gia, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. It's Drew Rose at Zach Krantz on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 to Lee QAM.
Doesn't matter who the producer is on this show, this is always the song of our final segment on a Friday. Little Freaks Come Out at Night.
Freaks are coming to Twin Peaks Pines tonight with us.
That is correct. Channing will be out tonight. Twin Peaks, Pembroke Pines, Game 4.
Woo!
The line, by the way, is now -5. Golden State -5. So Toronto's getting 5 now. You've got to like that even more.
Lock me in, baby. Should I wait? This is what I struggle with, waiting on the numbers.
You want to get the highest number of points. You really do like Toronto, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Come watch the game tonight with Crowder, Twin Peaks, Pembroke Pines, whiskey specials, prizes will be given away. Drop a couple chillin's on people if you walk up to them at the bar.
Run up to them and say, hey, we can talk with them. Want to ask questions, want stories, I got you. Just come.
Give them your opinion on KD and LeBron basketball IQ. That's the last time that'll ever be mentioned, by the way.
Come up to me. I'll debate anything with you.
5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Anybody watching that TV show, Chernobyl? You watch that?
No, I passed.
You watch that?
I haven't watched it, but everybody's raving about it.
Because I just saw a tweet about it. Everyone is raving about that. And I lived through Chernobyl. Like, I remember it as a kid. I want to watch that. I got to watch that. Text
in. Chernobyl?
Chernobyl was like, it was a nuclear power plant accident in Russia. And the Soviet Union back then was very secretive. So they didn't even let the world know. And then all of a sudden, the radiation levels, I forget what country, like, they kind of picked it up and, like, what's going on here? And it took a long while for the Soviet Union to even admit that they had had a major accident at Chernobyl. But
they've based a horror movie around that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, where the whatever area it was that they abandoned.
Yeah,
it didn't really get abandoned and the radiation got to
It was like,
I've seen some
zombies
about it.
And something.
Yeah, that's what you know what? I think that's why I pass by it when I see it on TV.
I want to watch it. Text in 560-22 if you're watching it. I'm curious how good it is. Everyone's raving about it.
Yeah, the movie was Chernobyl Diaries, like back in 2012.
Oh, I do remember that. Chernobyl Diaries.
And that was the zombies. Yes.
Yeah.
So this is something different. That's why I passed by it, because I watched the Diaries and I was like,
everyone's raving about this show.
I don't do those zombies.
I think this is like nonfiction, though. I think this is more of like inside look of
correct,
how it happened.
But it's a dramatization. It's a dramatization. So it's based around Chernobyl and what happened, but it's a dramatization, because I just saw a tweet about the reason I was thinking of it. I just saw a tweet that said, here are 12 things in Chernobyl that they did not get right. But the producers have said, like, it's a dramatization, but it's centered around Chernobyl.
No, dramatization. Is that how it's said?
No, I think it's dramatization.
Dramatization.
Not but dramatization, like dramatization.
Dramatization. It's a dramatization, and I've had this argument with you before as well. It's a biopic. I hate people that say it's a biopic.
I'll go with you on biopic.
Because most people say it's a biopic, because it's a biography and it's a picture, and they go, it's a biopic. It's a biopic and it's dramatization.
Dramatization. But there's the drama tie, the T. You're leaving the T. You're D in the T.
No, dramatization.
Dramatization.
So what are you saying? Dramatization?
Dramatization. Look at the word, Hawk, it's the T. You're D in the T.
Incorrect.
You're D in the T.
The dramatization.
You just D'd the T.
Overall story is accurate. Excellent show. Very good. Just finished it. What is it on? Is it HBO?
HBO.
It's only 5 episodes? Oh. I'm in on that. 5 episodes. I hate when I started season 2 of Cobra Kai last night. I'm like, season 1 was so great. I kind of got it at this point.
We're very similar.
I'm still in. I'm going to watch it.
You'll push through. You'll push through that exhaustion of a show.
Enough, but I got it.
I can't push through. with Game of Thrones, I did season 1, 2, 7, and 8. Everybody's like, 3, 4, 5, and 6 were great. I was like, yep, but I know what started it and what ended it. That's all I need.
5 episodes, though. That's perfect.
Oh, I can watch it now. That's information that I need. I'll watch 5 episodes.
All right, I'm going to watch that. If you missed any of our interviews today, Ira Winderman, Gino Toretta, Jim Larinaga, they're all going to be posted at WQAM.com when it's functioning again. We know that the podcast uploading mechanism is down right now, so it's still down.
Fixed as of literally 10 seconds ago.
Oh, all right, fixed. So all the podcasts, all the interviews will be uploaded. Hopefully not our debate about KD and LeBron and basketball IQ. Hopefully that one's still broken. Hopefully that doesn't get posted.
Put it up.
That'll do it for us. Greg Likens is coming up next. You'll have Chili Willy on the controls, and Greg Likens will continue on with the fun and revelry. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great and safe weekend. Go see Channing tonight. Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines.
I'll be there right about 8:30.
Right when the fun is starting to begin. Tip off at 9, and it'll be a great time tonight. So join Channing tonight. Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines. That'll do it for us. Have a great weekend. We will speak with you el lunes.
So KD can't even spell the word basketball.
He was a penis with a man hanging from it.
Everything's over for my.